Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody, from an absolutely beautiful day here in Ocala, Florida. I am Glenn the Geek.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 23rd, 2012, episode 386. And today's episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, I am waking up grateful, Glenn, and you know why? Because in 3 days, I'm going to be in the Mecca of the horse world, which you so quickly moved out of. We're going to Lexington, Kentucky for Rolex 4 days till the first horse takes his first step in the dressage test. Yay! I'm so excited!
Yeah, and that usually happens around 9 o'clock, too, so it's 4 days from today, Thursday.
I know. I'm so excited, and, I'm also really excited to get the Hizel out of Phoenix because, oh, my God, it was 106 yesterday, 106 degrees. And when I posted that on Facebook, some of our friends that are living up in, what is it, Pennsylvania, were talking about how they're getting snow. I don't hear you, Glenn, but, yeah.
Faded out okay. For a minute. I'm back.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Pennsylvania getting snow, and you have 106, and down here in Florida, it's absolutely beautiful and in the 70s.
Oh, look at that. That's just wonderful. You guys, you win in the weather war. You're going to win.
They're going to be laughing real hard come hurricane season.
Let me tell you, though, bring your jackets. It's supposed to get in the 30s every night while you're in Lexington. So, bring your jackets.
What?
Yeah, 30s, okay. And then... highs in the 60s, maybe.
Any rain in the forecast?
Well, there's always rain in the forecast in Lexington. Whether it happens or not, it's a different story. So, Okay. Yeah, definitely bring your jackets. You're going to need them for the evenings. It's going to get chilly. And the time you head out to the park in the morning, it's going to be chilly.
I don't care. I'll take it. After burning this weekend, I got sunburned and I had like 55 sunscreen on. So I don't know what else I can do besides carry an umbrella everywhere I go. I don't know what else to do.
You know, the early morning dressage test should be a lot of fun. The horses should be really spirited at 30-some degrees.
No kidding. That'll be fun. Well, I'm super excited about it. It was a horsey weekend for me, and we can't wait to tell you about it. And I'm gonna post a video here on Facebook in just a second. But Jennifer, why don't you tell us what is on today's show? Because I'm excited to talk to the people we have on today.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, it's springtime in Kentucky. We open with our first Kentucky Derby predications from our go-to racing experts, Frankie Lovato and Richard the Mig Migliori. And among the Monday news headlines, Wiley Leslie Wiley will be stopping by from the latest of Horse Nation fame. So stay tuned for the fracas, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily Winnie is a couple of these. I want to say happy birthday to two people, that one from your past life and one from my past life. The first one, Jamie, is from your past life, and that's your friend, Lindsay Raker, who who you used to actually you went on the road with and did shows with your little musical group. So happy birthday to her. It's her birthday today. And from my past life, for those that don't know, we used to be in an acting company. We did medieval feasts. I played a king for 10 years. Jennifer played a queen and a wench. She felt more like playing the wench most of the time. But my jester, Mark Reed, who still does the Renaissance Fair circuit full-time, is it's his birthday as well. So happy birthday to Mark. We did almost 450 shows together. So kind of miss Mark and wish him well. He's still doing great out there performing every weekend at shows across the country. He's older than me, though.
Well, what does he do? What is his job?
He plays a jester. He has the little hat, you know, with the black and white all over and the little hat and the bells and everything. And he juggles and he tells stories. And he has a dog act, too, where he has some border collies. And they do a very funny dog act. But, yeah, he's more of a kid's entertainer. Adults like him, too. He fire eats and does all the things that you would expect a jester to do. He does, and he's one of the best improv actors I ever have seen or worked with ever. He's just got unbelievable timing.
He fire eats like it was no big deal.
No, he's seen it 1,000 times. You know, I don't think it's kind of a big deal. But I did it one day. I did do it once. We switched roles on whenever we did our show that it fell on April 1st, he would play the king and I would play the jester those days. And let me tell you, the audience was ripped off because I wasn't a very good jester.
Wow, that's a funny practical joke. You guys are crazy if they're your acting company.
I had to fire eat. I have a beard and I had to fire eat, so figure that one out. You did do it very carefully.
Well, this is, you guys are wacky. Sure. That's what I was going to say. Give me my Daily Winnie because let's see here. Let's see if I can figure out how to do this because I don't usually do things like this here. My happy birthday goes out to my partner, Glenn the Geek here, because we're not going to be on the air tomorrow, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But tomorrow, my friend, is your 50th freaking birthday.
See, I was hoping that we weren't recording live tomorrow that I'd get away with that, but you had to bring it up today.
You know, only not recording live, the only thing that saved you from is me singing happy birthday. So, because I would have done it on a live show on your birthday, but maybe I'll just have to call you.
Maybe have her do it.
Call Lindsay Rakers. Yeah, have her sing you happy birthday. She'd be a lot better than me. That's what's funny about it, Glenn, is, I can't sing. And so I just wanted to say happy birthday to my co-host, my partner, my boss. Jennifer, have you done all of Glenn's 50th birthday shopping? Are you prepared?
I am so ready.
That's the difference between men and women, though, is you probably are ready. And if it was your 50th birthday, he'd be like, oh, my God, Jamie, I have got to get to the store right after the show. We got to end early because I have got to get somewhere and do some shopping.
Exactly right.
And you know it's true.
Cancel the show. I have to shop.
Yeah.
And guess who's showing up in an hour? I got to tell you this. Here at the studio in Ocala, guess who's going to walk in that door probably before the show's over today? You don't have a guess? No guess?
Are you asking me or Jennifer?
No, I'm asking you.
How am I supposed to know? You're in Florida. My mother, okay? She lives an hour.
Helena's going to be here. Host of the Stable Show. Yeah, she's in Florida. And for a conference for her husband, she is in Orlando, staying at Disney, and she's going to take a ride up today to see the new place. So we get to see Helena and her daughter, Grace, today. So that's fun.
That'll be fantastic. Congratulations on having your first visitor in your new home. That'll be wonderful.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We got everything done yesterday, so we could goof off today.
So you're unpacked, you're prepared, you're ready.
We're ready. We're ready. We are ready.
She'll never be ready. So what did you guys do this weekend?
Well, we actually, Jennifer rode both days, a couple hours each day, and I rode my bike both days. It was beautiful weather here. It actually rained a little. We got our first rain. But it was fun. I got to go out. You know, I rode my bike yesterday for an hour on the roads around the development here. It was over an hour. It was about an hour and a half with my brother, and we saw one car in an hour and a half.
Wow.
That is so nice. I got to tell you. I was used to riding in Lexington where you're taking your life into your hand, even driving your car around those roads. So riding your bike was dangerous. So, no, it was fun. It was good. Well, I want to find out about yours, but let's get some of the housekeeping stuff about away from the weekend, because I watched a video that you took of yourself doing something over the weekend that was kind of exciting. I want to hear more about it, but let's do the housekeeping stuff first. First of all, our schedule for the week is today is our only live show till Thursday. So we're live today. Tomorrow and Wednesday we have some oldies for you, some oldie shows that we're going to play for you tomorrow and Wednesday, because we're going to be traveling to Lexington. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yes, we will be live on Saturday and Sunday this week, too. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're going to be live at the usual time, 9 a.m., and hopefully Jamie won't be bitching about it every morning because she'll be on East Coast time.
Woo-hoo!
So 9 a.m., we'll be live Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from the Rolex 3-day international event at the Kentucky. And we'll be there. Your husband will be there with you. We'll have to put him to work. Maybe we'll have him wrangle guests or something for us during showtime.
I'm sorry. I'm pre-shopping, and during the show, he has sent out to buy things. Honey, I would like this, and this. Go get it during our show. It's not going to happen.
I don't think you really want him to do that. Part of the fun is you shopping. That's part of the fun. Speaking of shopping, Bit of Britain is having their, don't forget about their Chase the Challenge going on. If you're going to be at the Rolex event, you want to stop by the Bit of Britain tent and pick up a questionnaire. They're going to have questions that you have to fill out by visiting various tents and various places with their sponsors and things. And the first 500 challengers to pick up the questionnaire each day have a chance to win $1,000 in products. That's $1,000 they're giving away each day by just by you doing this little questionnaire and a little hunt for the answers, and you hand them in every day, and then at 4 o'clock each day, they're going to announce the winner. So you want to check that out at the Bit of Britain tent. It's in Sponsors Row, which is right over from the outdoor arena. So you can't miss it. I mean, Bit of Britain has the biggest tent there. So,
yeah.
And the participating sponsors for that include Charles Owen, The Chronicle of the Horse, Farnham, Neutrina, Treadstep Ireland, Hit Air, Horsewear Ireland, None Finer, and the Horse Radio Network. So check that out. Also, the Clarion Let Me Know, the Clarion Hotel, which is only about 4 miles from the Horse Park. It's one of the closest, actually. They have rooms still available, a couple of them, at $109. So if you decide to come in last minute, or you realize that your hotel reservation got messed up or whatever, you can still get rooms at $109. Just search, just Google Clarion Lexington, and you'll find it there, and that's where we're staying as well. So do that. I'm meeting up with some of the listeners, too, on Saturday night at the Clarion at the restaurant there. Some of the listeners are coming in, so we're gonna meet up with some of the listeners there as well. And I'm going to be tweeting about that, so follow that if you want to meet up with us. We'll announce the time and everything.
Which night is this?
Saturday night was the only night I actually had free to do that.
Saturday night?
Yes.
There is so much going on. First of all, you've got the Ariat Kentucky Reigning Cup that night. How are you going to miss that? Plus the whole thing we talked about on Friday, which is the off-the-track thoroughbred. Bruce Davidson's going to give a talk, and that's at a farm down the road. Ah, so much to do. I can't stand it.
Okay, that sounds educational. I'm going party with listeners. Go do the educational thing. I'm going back to the bar with the listeners, okay?
Yeah.
Our friend Rhonda from Canada, one of the people who has listened to every show of that we've ever produced, is going to be there. So I'm going to meet up with Rhonda and some of her friends over there as well.
At the Clarion Hotel Bar?
Yeah.
I'm in. Because
I might have to watch a little bit of the raining, though, because the freestyle raining is a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. And then Lyle Lovett's going to be riding again this year, I read. And there's going to be another one of these celebrity reining challenges. And Lyle Lovett's not even in that one, okay? We're talking like Karen O'Connor, a lot of eventers. Gina Miles is going to do it. So Olympic gold, silver, bronze medalists from the eventing world are going to be trying their hand in reining again this year. So apparently that was quite entertaining last year. So we might have to go to a little bit of that. And then, oh, pregame at the hotel bar. Then get a cab 4 miles from the Clarion to the horse park, go see some reining, come back, meet at the bar again for the postgame.
There you go. Perfect. I couldn't get any better than that. So what did you do? You had an exciting ride over the weekend.
I did. I just posted the video on Facebook because little Joe Montana, by the way, who was not even broke like to ride 3 months ago, is doing so great, even though the whole, you know, like he decided to stop eating. Now he's eating Equine Junior and he loves it. He's eating the rice bran and he loves it. He now still will pass out when you put the girth on. So you have to put the girth on and walk him around and lunge him and then tighten it and then walk him and then tighten it and walk him. The whole tacking up process takes like half an hour. But once you get him tacked up, he does so good. So I posted on YouTube, and then I just posted it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, is his first little jump course. He jumped 4 jumps in a row, and they were very impressive cross rails. So I think it got all the way up to 18 inches on one of them. So, woo, it was crazy. But then also you'll see my little student with her little pony jumping after. And then, you know, Joe Montana jumps and he kind of springs over things. And I'm holding on for dear life with my legs. But then you can see little Rachel go out there and jump her little pony Jacob, which is like the cutest little pair you've ever
seen. I got to say, that's cute. Cute pair.
Oh, just a wonderful pony. Notice this pony, by the way, this time last year was a ranch cutting horse. Okay. This pony had never jumped a year ago. And look at him land. He lands on the correct lead. He does a little flying change in there. It's just so awesome. He's just such a nice little pony. So I had to post that for her parents to see because her parents are not allowed at the lessons sometimes.
Are they those kind of parents, or she just doesn't want them there?
She just doesn't want them there most of the time. just once a week. She comes for lessons twice a week, and the parents are allowed as little sisters. But some days she just likes to come and ride with me, so we ride together, and it's kind of like her big girl time, you know? She's 12, mm-hmm. So she's starting to get – she's, like, cresting on that time in her life where she's going to start disliking her parents, her mother, you know, because teenage angst. So her mother is fully aware of this and says, you know, she's going to only like you for her teenage years, so just keep me informed.
That's funny.
I'm like, gotcha. I'll be your inside secret, you know, person. Don't tell Rachel I said that.
I was going to say, she doesn't listen to the show.
They don't. I find that it's best to keep those closest to me to not to listen to this show.
You blew that. Your mother listens every morning.
She's in Florida, though. So all I have to do is hang up with a phone when she calls to yell at me. But people that keep their horses here, I have to see too much. So they don't even know I do this.
Well, this is a good video. I can't believe how well he did.
Little Joe Montana is so good. So then yesterday I took him on his first field trip. I went to my warm blood who I leased out to a lady that lives about an hour away. I put Joe Montana and Jet in the trailer and he went on his first field trip. He, you know, got out of the trailer. That's part of training a horse is so they don't freak out when they go somewhere. So we just took him there and I just lunged him basically because it was like 106 by the time I left. It was ridiculous. So
that's hot already.
It's going to cool down this week. Apparently it's going to get back to the 90s, but man, it was just brutal this weekend and we weren't ready for it. The horses were miserable. Poor little Joey was just sweating, standing in his stall. So we'll get back to some better temperatures this week. But then I went to the Braves game. The Braves, my team, my baseball team, was here playing the Arizona Diamondbacks.
And how was that?
Well, I've lived here for 4 years, Glenn. 4 years. My Atlanta Braves have been to the World Series. They have won countless division titles and championships. And in four freaking years, coming to Arizona at least twice a year, I have not seen them win one stinking game here in Arizona. I don't get it. I don't understand. And I'm the guy who goes to the game in Braves jerseys. Like, I had a red skirt that matched my red and blue Braves jersey. I had, like, you know, the A painted on the side of my cheek. I had the hat on. I had the tomahawk. I was like, Jared, woo!
You were risking getting beat up.
You know, it's just so painful to do the walk of shame out of the stadium when your team gets
you have an A painted on your face.
Of course, and it had glitter and everything. It's awful. And I'm like,
okay.
It's like, Braves suck. I'm like, good game, good game.
You know how I feel about baseball. I think it's the most boring game that has ever been invented. They spit. Imagine baseball when it's 106 freaking degrees. Are you kidding me?
Well, let me tell you a little something about Arizona. It's 106 degrees. You think people can get out there and play baseball in 106 degrees? Not a chance. What they can do, however, is close the retractable roof and turn on the air conditioning.
Got it.
That's the only way you can go to games in this town. It's awful. As much as I hate sitting inside watching baseball, my God, it was nice to just sit in air conditioning yesterday. Oh, I was like, this is wonderful. After riding all morning, and I'm like, oh, this is so great. Is there even a game? I'm just enjoying sitting here cool.
Hey, before we get too far and before we get to our guests, we have a great show today talking to Frankie Lovato and the Migliori about racing. Of course, we always have them on right before the Kentucky Derby. We're going to talk to them about some of the picks, some of the horses we should be looking for, and they go back a long way. They were both jockeys at the same time, and it's just so much fun to have them on. But what I wanted to do before we do that is get a little bit serious. Friday, Jamie, there was a memorial service for Amy Tryon over in state of Washington. So the Area 7 eventers posted an article that about the memorial service and what it was like. And I thought, you know, Amy, you heard this last week, and I was wondering if you were going to react to it at all. Well, we had the three eventers on last week, and every one of them talked about how Amy had helped them, didn't they? What an influence she was.
She was one of Barb, my coaches, Barb Crabo's, I guess, biggest influences. With having, I guess, Poggio was a very difficult horse, and Everready is a very difficult horse, and she really helped her along with that horse and did a lot of clinics. And, yeah, every single one of those ladies that we had on last week has been touched in some way by their experiences with Amy Tryon. So she's deeply, deeply missed in the eventing community and in the horse community.
Well, I thought, this article was very well written, and it gave everybody a feeling for what it was like at the service. So I wanted to read it to you so that you could, you could understand from different perspectives what Amy meant to everybody. It's about 4 minutes, and just ask you to bear with it and get your tissues out, Jamie.
Oh, great.
Here we go. This is from the Area 7 eventing website. It's area7.org. The sun broke through the clouds and streamed into Maple Leaf Ups and Downs Arena as the lilting music of Eastland Fire and Rescue pipes and drums started off the memorial service for Amy Tryon, held on April 20th in Duval, Washington. Several hundred mourners attended the service, including all of Amy's family, many in the horse community, and the Eastside Fire and Rescue members and several other station crews that Amy worked with during her EMT days. Fire Lieutenant Richard Burke, who served closely with both Amy and Greg Tryon in the fire service, led off the eulogies and gave great support throughout the memorial to everyone who chose to speak. It was an emotional day filled with great stories and remembrances about Amy. Greg spoke with humor and grace about his incredible experiences of being Amy's horse husband and getting introduced as Mr. Amy Tryon as they traveled the world to the major equestrian events she was competing in. They made many friends around the world, and they will continue to be there to help Greg move forward without Amy. Amy's mother, Jemmy, told the story of Amy going to her first horse show as a young girl, competing in Western equitation in a pink outfit purchased by a family friend. Amy came in fifth, and the judge thought she would be pleased to get the pink fifth place ribbon, but she told the judge, "I wanted the blue ribbon." Jemmy knew she was in trouble after the first show and that her ambitious horse-crazy daughter would pursue her equestrian dreams and never look back. She also wanted people to know that behind the sometimes tough and gruff facade, Amy was very shy and at times fragile. She kept any problems she had to herself and carried on, lending guidance and support to those that needed her help, encouraging young girls who wanted to ride and do it right and do all your chores. Dr. Mark Hart, an early sponsor of Amy, spoke about his travels with Amy and her crew across the country, up and down, and those were some of his best memories. He also attended many of her major competitions and saw firsthand the amazing string of successes that Amy had. But it was on the backside that he remembers most fondly, watching Amy put her horse show crew to work, a very well-oiled machine, and being put to work himself on tasks he wasn't so well-versed in. Everyone had a laugh before they told him how to do the job correctly. She was a loyal friend and always there for his family when they needed her. David O'Connor choked back his emotions as he struggled to talk about Amy. He got to know her quite well when they were on the two Olympic teams together and one WEG team. If Amy was on the team, they usually won, and her integrity as a rider, teammate, and friend was unquestionable. David spent a night traveling by train with Amy, trying to get to the Olympic Village in Spain after missing their connection in Madrid. We played truth or dare almost the whole way, and she probably knows more about me than most people, but I could always trust her with my secrets. I wasn't prepared to lose her so soon, but I know she is up there somewhere, galloping across a field, jumping huge jumps with no dressage arena in sight. Richard Burke spoke for the fire service and conveyed what a huge loss Amy was to the firefighting community. She was nicknamed Tulip early on by one of her crews, and it stayed with her during her entire career. She was a first-class EMT and a firefighter until she retired in 2006 to pursue her equestrian career full-time. It was a powerful, moving, and comforting feeling to see all the fire service members in dress uniforms form a shoulder-to-shoulder ring around the seated crowd while everyone spoke. A heartfelt thank you goes out to all of them for organizing, arranging, and executing a very special memorial for Amy and all of her family. Allison Green, Amy's friend, groom, and fellow rider, who worked with her for 13 years, said it beautifully while speaking from the audience. For Amy, all the awards and prizes she won throughout her career weren't that important. It was always about the journey and how she got there. I would like everyone to remember that. So that was from the Area 7 website. And to be honest, I recorded that earlier because I didn't think I'd get through it live. So
wow.
I did record it earlier. But it just gives you a little bit about her. She's going to be missed at Rolex this year, too, because she's just been there every year. Greg, too. I knew Greg better than I knew Amy because we had him on the first Horse Husband show, and we chatted ever since. And he was known as Mr. Amy Tryon at all the shows. And he liked that. He thought that was pretty cool. So we'll be missed.
Well done, Glenn. Yeah, I'm glad you didn't ask me to read that one. That would have not been able to get through that one. My God.
I had a tough time. There were a couple cuts in there. So, but I was not going to ask you to do that one live. No, I wouldn't have done that to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We got to get to our sponsor before we get to our guest today, which are going to be Richard Miglior, the Mig, I should just call him the Mig, from HRTV, and Frankie Lovato. But we got to let you know that Omega Alpha is our sponsor for today. And when results count on Omega Alpha Equine. They have over 30 problem-solving formulas to help the horse you love perform better naturally. And one of those formulas is Sinew X Muscle Joint and Ligament Formula. It aids in the repair of joint cartilage and ligaments and increases the rate of repair of damaged tissues. So you can find Sinew X and all of Omega Alpha's natural formulas at retailers nationwide. Seriously, they're everywhere now. It's really impressive. You can find them also online at bitofbritain.com, or you can purchase them direct from Omega Alpha by visiting omegaalpha.ca. That's either bitofbritain.com is one of them, or omegaalpha.ca.
Well, while we're waiting for our guest to get on the line here, there was a little race over the weekend in Lexington at Keeneland. And it's called the Lexington Stakes, and let's just say the favorite didn't win.
Well, you know, there's a lot of horses this weekend that are still vying for Derby money. Basically, they have to win so much money to qualify for the Kentucky Derby, and there were a lot of Derby potentials that were really trying to win this race. None of them win. None at all. Because a horse named All Squared Away won the Lexington Stakes at Keeneland. And why is this a news story? Well, because All Squared Away was 70-1. It was the longest shot in the Grade 3 race. And it was a former claimer horse. And he is a gelding. So that's amazing. You know, that gelding won the race running at Keeneland. The $2, if you pay, let's see, it's 70-1. I'll just put $2 on it to win. I swear, if there's ever a super, super long shot, I will put $2 on it to win. And they never win. But because this horse, on a $2 to win bet, paid $143.20. That is ridiculous.
Most of the time, I win $3 on my $2 bet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because you play, you know, Animal Kingdom to, you know, whatever. It's going to be I'll take Average of Grace to win. Well, you win. Black Caviar, please. You just lost money winning money. I think you actually pay them to make the bet. So when you've got a horse like this, you put the $2 on it. Let's say you were like, oh, let's get crazy. I'm going to do an exacto, which is when you pick the first horse and the second horse. It cost you $1 to make that bet, by the way. Do you know what the $2 exacta paid? $842.
No. Wow.
$800. If you picked the first, second, and third horse for $2, you won almost $8,000.
The trifecta was $8,000?
Yes. The trifecta was $8,000. And then let's say you get crazy. I've never played a superfecta, but that's when you pick the four in a row. You'd be like, I'll pick the first four horses. You won $100,000. Almost $100,000 in this race by picking the first, second, third, and fourth place. That's ridiculous.
Do you know this Peter Miller guy got this horse for $1,000 at a yearling sale, and he was all excited because he said, well, you know, the Triple Crown might be a possibility. Maybe I could put him in the Preakness. And then somebody said to him, you know, it'll be $100,000 because your horse hasn't qualified. It'll be $100,000 for you to enter the Preakness. And, quote, Miller said with a laugh, never mind, we'll find some other race. I'm not giving up the $100,000 I just won to run in the Preakness.
So. Yeah, no kidding. That's just a great story. I wonder, let's get Frankie on right now because I know he's sitting on hold. I want to ask Frankie, have you ever bet the long shot and won?
Hello? am I on air?
You are. You're here.
No. Well, that's a funny question because I never really bet in my whole life. So.
What?
Well, I know you had to have ridden the long shot and won.
Oh, yes. Oh, lots of times. Lots of times. But, you know.
Well, that's better. I should ask that.
I thought you meant have I ever bet on the horse? Didn't expect it to win. No, but if it happens all the time. It happens every day that not that you win a race every day, but to someone, a horse will win, a long shot will win, and for whatever reason may never run back to that race again in their lifetime. But that particular day, that particular race, it just happened. So it happens.
Frankie, were you ever on a horse that was a long shot, and you were like, either, oh, my God, these people have no idea what kind of horse I'm sitting on. I am so going to crush this. This long shot is going to win. Or were you on a long shot and you're sitting there going, there is no chance in hell I'm going to win this race. Either one of those?
Okay, I'll confide a little story. It happened to be the very same horse many, many years ago, a horse I used to ride named Pete Moss. And he was a claiming horse, though he had some nice pedigree. But he was in the claiming ranks. He was a five-year-old turning six. They claimed him for $10,000 from the Meadowlands, which is a very cheap price, claiming price. And the trainer and owner entered him in the stakes race the very following week. And I was like, well, they wanted me to ride the horse. They couldn't find a jockey that wanted to ride the horse. and his name was Pete Moss, and he ended up being one of the best horses I ever rode in my career. But The thing that was, it was a handicap. Okay, it's a long story, but as an apprentice, you know, you get a weight allowance, right? Which means you get pounds off from the assigned weight. You know what I mean?
So yep.
This was the very first day I was not to be an apprentice. I had a stellar year. I was the leading apprentice in America. But I was heavy. I was fighting my weight, and I was looking forward to the time when I'd lose my apprenticeship. I would be allowed to carry more weights on the assigned weights and ride at equal weights with the journeyman. Well, this was to be the first day that I was going to ride as not an apprentice. So I was looking forward to that extra 5 pounds that I was allowed to carry. Well, they entered this horse in this race, and he got in with 104 pounds because he just didn't look like he belonged at all. And I was mad. I was mad about it. I was like, no. Be the first day I was going to be able to carry regular weights, and was reducing hard and fighting my weight, and I was riding Belmont and the Meadowlands. Anyway, long story short, the horse wins, and he wins easy. And what was different about this race than any other race that this horse ever had an opportunity to run in is it was a marathon. It was the race was 2 miles, called the Kelso, and it was run at Akron.
Wow.
Yeah, and it turns out that this horse had this ability within him his entire life, but the races had to be over a mile and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. So just to fast forward a little bit, the following year, now I've won a ton of races. Any race that was over a mile and a half, this horse would crush anybody on the planet. And so they're going to run him in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and that's a mile and a half. It really was a little too short for him, but I was so sure I could win this race. And there was horses like Noble Nashua. John Henry was the horse that won the race. Summing. The best horses in the country were entered into this race. And there was little me and Pete Moss. We were 50-1, and I kept telling everybody, look out, look out. And we finished second. We got beat in nose. But same horse. Flip-flop story. Yes, there was one time that I was so sure I couldn't win the race and won, and then there was one time I was so sure I could. Both times he was 50-1, which was pretty neat.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. So, and that, you know, there's another way. The jockeys don't always know, you know. And my whole life people say, you got any tips? You know you're going to win, right? And my God, if we did, we would be – our pockets would be
billionaires.
And my wife will tell you, all my career, she would, when I would say, I don't have much chances today, those are the days that I'd win, and the days when I thought I was going to win, I had no chance.
Isn't that true in life, you know? That's just the way it goes. Well, listen, Frankie Lovato, first of all, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. And we've got Richard Migliori, the Mig, as we call him, from HRTV. Good morning, Mig. How are you?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Great. We're doing fantastic. I'm so excited to have both you guys on again because it is that time of the year where we've got to start getting y'all's opinion on the Derby. I do believe we've made this competitive. You know, we don't need to compete because I already know who's going to win, so it wouldn't be fair to, like, make you guys, you know, stick your neck out because I've already got it sewn up here. But I would love to hear y'all's opinion on the Derby contenders. There's so many contenders this year, and there's no clear-cut, this horse is going to win. There's no clear-cut favorite. Like, you know, last year, the year before last, where everybody was like, Uncle Mo is the horse that's going to win the Triple Crown this year. There's no one particular horse that everybody's talking about. There's several of them. So I'd love to get y'all's opinion. And, Meg, when you're looking at these contenders that they have listed or that are coming up, you know, you've got, like I said, my favorite is Gemologist. You've got Hanson. You've got, you know, Alpha. You've got a bunch of different horses. All have another is Glenn's favorite, actually. So that's his pick.
Just because of the name.
Union Rags. Yeah. Union Rags. You got a lot of these horses. Can you give me kind of your rundown on the Derby field, Meg?
Well, you know, everything you say is true. It's probably one of the most competitive Derby fields in years. I mean, very wide open. I do have an opinion. I do like Union Rags as well, and the reasoning behind that is here's a horse that if you look at the way Michael Matz prepared Barbaro for the Kentucky Derby, he won his prep for the Florida Derby, and then he kind of backed off of him, and he trained him very, very light into the Florida Derby, and he was life and death to beat a horse named Sharp Humor. Now, he was much more talented than Sharp Humor, so he won it on ability, not because he was trained with a purpose to win that particular race. And then right after the Florida Derby, he started training that horse with absolute intention heading to the Kentucky Derby. His work had picked up, his works became more intense, more serious, and he did the same exact thing this year with Union Rags. He had three slow works between the Holy Bull and the Florida Derby, a half and 50, a half and 49, and I think it was 5/8 and 103. And now his first two works since that, he has stepped up the pace, and he's training them again with that intention to have him right for the first Saturday in May. So I feel like in racing, history and patterns repeat itself, and I think here's a guy who has a very good handle on how to get his horse ready for the right day. So although it was disappointing to lose the Florida Derby, he may have gotten out of it just what he needed to win the Kentucky Derby.
Nice. That might be the case. I just absolutely love Michael Matson, and I do agree that the Union Rags is going to be right there. Anybody, what do you think about this, Frankie?
Well, I'm listening to my dear old pal, Richie Migliori, and it's making me smile because there's a reason why Richie works for HRTV now and has won 4,000 races. Well, I'm kind of like Glenn. I kind of like close my eyes and then pick my favorite name or, you know,
I'll
poke
have
it. There you go. But, you know, to be honest, I haven't been able to scientifically dissect the horses going into this race. One horse that just totally stood out to me in one of the preps that I got to watch over an iPhone while I was at Equine Affair last weekend was the horse that won the Bluegrass. And the Doolahan, and that, you know, Richie knows that track too and how hard it is to come out of that second turn and be so far behind and behind so many horses. And I thought Hanson was home. From riding that track at Keeneland and just knowing it so well, once you get away and turning for home like that, you're tough to beat. And Doolahan did that. So That's my scientific pick of the day.
Well, but again, you see that's the beauty of this Derby, Frankie, and it's a very, very valid point. And you know, there's a lot to like with Gemologist. There's a lot to like with Doolahan. Here's a horse who's shown he's definitely got the stamina. Dale Romans, his trainer, has been an impact player the last few years in the Triple Crown events. He knows how to get a horse prepared for these races. He's obviously very successful at Churchill Downs. So I think there's a lot to like there. I thought on the flip side of the Bluegrass, the horse that came out of it probably tarnishing his reputation a bit was Hanson because he had opened up the race by the 16th pole and looked like he couldn't lose. But I think his stamina comes into question then, especially with the fact that he pulls too hard. You know, in the Gotham,
yeah,
he was outside and he kind of got a chance to relax just a touch, if you want to even call it that, because he was laying second. But now this time, when he had anybody lean on him from the outside, he's running off again. And you know, Frankie, the Derby, they always go too fast for the distance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really a disadvantage to have that forward speed.
Guys, Hanson is his trainer is Mike Maker, which is not a name a common name that we've heard over and over again, like Todd Pletcher and some of the others. What's his story?
He does a good job, Frankie.
Yeah.
I think you probably were around him a little more than me when you know you were riding in Fairground, Kentucky, right?
Well, absolutely. He was assistant trainer for Wayne Lucas for many years, and actually ran the head stable. Very credible. And when he went on his own, I mean, he's earned it. Very credible, and won a lot of races from the Midwest, and went to New York with a string of horses, and won a lot of races there. But a very credible trainer for sure.
You know, I really think he's a top horseman. The one thing that concerns me with Hanson is all this nonsense with dying his tail and all that. You know, I just don't believe in that stuff.
That's why I asked
that. Yeah,
that's
I mean,
and Glenn like that.
Well, but
I
that's
written
not his
for
call,
him.
Right? I mean, that's the owner's call, and I just, I mean, does he need to be more visible? He's the only white horse out there. He's a beautiful mover. So what do you got to, like, make him a sideshow for? This is thoroughbred racing. It's not a circus show.
Yeah, well, but that guy being in Kentucky and having the, you know, it just seems like that was why he was going for it. But you're right. It was just a bit of a media circus. And a lot of times it seems like these horses that do have this kind of circus around them never pan out in the Derby. I don't know why it is. Like the past couple years, I remember like the horse that had all the great story never seems to show up at the end of it. And I don't know if it's because they're just flat exhausted. Do you have an opinion on that, Meg?
Well, you know, let's be fair. Excuse me. Hanson is a fabulously talented horse. And I just question his ability to go. I think up to a mile, he's brilliant. And those make the best sires. I mean, I think he's got a great future ahead of him if they don't get too carried away with this, you know, trying to make him be a Triple Crown type of horse. I mean, obviously he's going to run in the Derby, but if he wasn't able to get the mile and a quarter in that race, I hope they would take a step back and point him to what his strength is. And I always equate racing like boxing. If you had a boxer that had a great jab, what good would it be if the trainer told him don't jab? So if a horse has good speed and he's effective up to a mile, why wouldn't you play to his strength? And I really hope that eventually that's what winds up happening with Hanson. And also, to be fair with the horses with the story, it is a 20-horse field. There's going to be 19 losers and only one winner at the end of the day. So horses can run great races in the Derby or be unlucky in the Derby. And it's just, I almost think, preordained. You think about Johnny Velasquez last year. He had Uncle Mo. He scratched at the last hour. He picks up Animal Kingdom and he wins the race. That Derby had his name on it. So I almost think these things are, like I said, preordained.
Now, take that to the betting window. Sorry, it's already preordained. I love that idea, though. Now, I agree with you on Hanson's speed. Do you think that they're pushing this horse a little to go a little bit too far?
Well, you can't blame them for trying. I mean, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile over the track at a mile and a 16th. He won the Gotham at a mile and a 16th. I just think the Bluegrass kind of bore out my feeling all along. Now I'm saying this, and he'll probably win the Kentucky Derby, but it just seems to me with his natural speed and the fact that he doesn't shut off. And I think you can go back to his second career start when he ran at Turfway Park, and he had the outside post, and he was sent from the outside. He seemed like that kind of turned the light on that he thinks he's supposed to run that way. Where, you know, being his second start, maybe if they had known how talented or the rider had a little more confidence, he would have cleared on his own. He would have ridden him a little bit more conservatively, but I think they've had a hard time switching him back off since that day. And Mike Maker's done a great job training him. I just think that sometimes everybody gets caught up with a little Derby fever, and I don't blame him for trying. If he was mine, I'd probably try too, but I think I would go about it just in a little quieter fashion. I'd want to fly under the radar if possible.
He doesn't want to get his white coat dirty, so that's why he likes to go wire to wire, because he hates, you know, I mean, he doesn't want to get filthy. He's silver, for God's sake. But I want to ask you, Frankie, what do you think, you know, we hear the same names over and over and over again for every single Derby. These guys with these multiple Derby horses, and the horse that I really like is Gemologist. What do you think about a trainer, Todd Pletcher, coming in there every year having a handful of Derby horses? You got Bob Baffert that's always there. You've got Dwayne Lucas that's always there. You've got, you know, these guys. Now, tell me about Todd Pletcher and Gemologist, or just the fact that Todd Pletcher is there with a couple talked about horses this year.
Well, I think when you got these guys that have the ammunition, you know, a guy like Todd Pletcher or Bob Baffert, when they start, I mean, they've already got two-year-olds that are they may have 20 or 30 Derby contenders at this point for the Derby for 2013, and they'll narrow that list down. And as these horses filter out, and the two-year-olds become three-year-olds, and you know, they've got some really nicely bred babies that we're going to be seeing in the future future derbies that there's a reason why these guys they've got a lot of power, a lot of ammunition, a lot of strength with their owners and getting into this business. That
money.
You know, they're starting out already. Who knows? Maybe 30 or 40 horses that could be derby contenders, and they'll filter down, and the best ones will surface. And this time of year, where a lot of the guys, I mean, they it's a once in a lifetime thing. You know, they may have a 3 year old. There was a story with that guy that was 80 years old that trained horses for 60 years, and he finally got his first derby horse. You know, it's there's so many different ways to get there, and I mean, Mind That Bird's a great story. You know, the guy trailered him in by himself. You know, there's so many great stories behind what it takes to win a derby. But as far as these guys like Pletcher or Bob Baffert or Asmussen, they're going into it with a lot of ammunition, and when it all filters out and they come up with a few top horses, these guys know what they're doing, and what can you say?
Yeah. Now, Meg, is there a story this year of somebody who's making it for the first time or is pointing towards it for the first time? Do we have that kind of underdog owner trainer story yet?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I hadn't even looked at it from that angle yet. I'm leaving for Louisville Wednesday, and I'm sure, you know, there'll be all those storylines cropping up. Just off the top of my head, Mike Maker and Dr. Hansen with Hansen are certainly, I think, fit that bill a little bit. I like Gemologist too, though, what you were saying. What's not to like? I mean, he's physically, he's a big, imposing physical individual. He's never been beaten, and he's won it two turns at Churchill Downs, and he's a fighter. He showed, much like his father, Tiz Now, he doesn't like to get passed, and he always seems like he has a little bit more in the tank, one of those horses that kind of wait on another horse, and when they get there, he kind of breaks their heart a little bit. So, you know, there's a lot to like.
That's the wood. That's what happened in the wood. I mean,
yeah.
It was just such an incredible race. And to be honest, when I said that I really like Gemologist and he's my pick, I watched the wood because I had a friend that had a horse in that race who came in like fifth or fourth or fifth. But to see Gemologist and the way that he ran that race, you're exactly right. It's like he waited on him to come and catch up and then blew by him. I mean, it was just awesome. And the reason I really like the horse is because, oh my God, he's so pretty. Oh, he is so pretty. I loved him.
And we all know that's important for winning.
Well, but you know what, though? Besides being pretty, he's a big, rugged horse. In the Derby, being a big field, there's a lot of body contact the first turn, and you need a horse that's going to be able to handle that physical part of it as well. And his gallop out in the Wood Memorial was extremely strong. I don't know if anybody watched his gallop out. I watched it intently, and after he kind of refocused, he hit the front, his ears went forward, he lost his focus a little bit, and then Alpha got to him, and when he reasserted himself, the 16th passed the wire and the 8th passed the wire, he really went on. And if you think about the Kentucky Derby and horses that might have a tendency to wait on horses, they don't seem to do it as much on Derby Day, and I think it's because it's like sensory overload. There's just so much going on, so many people, that they don't have one thing to put their attention on if they do hit the front early. You think about Ferdinand, a horse who never wanted to draw away. Well, in the Derby, he drew away, and I can come up with other examples as well. Horses that would have a tendency to wait in the Kentucky Derby, they kind of went about their business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, but before we have to wrap this up, I want to know, okay, Frankie, who is your current pick for the Kentucky Derby, and might it change as the time comes?
This is as far as it goes for me. My research has ended. But I was since I've missed the majority of the Derby preps because of business or whatever, the one I did see that just kind of really, really was the win in the Bluegrass with Dolahan. I thought that was a very, very strong effort, and definitely that's what you want to see heading up this close to the Derby. So Dolahan's my pick.
Houlihan trained by Dale Romans. Okay, Mig, give me your pick. Who's your guy?
Well, I'm on Union Rags. I like the trainer. I like the horse. I think Julian Leperu probably got too much criticism for his defeat in the Florida Derby, and I think I'm hopeful for him. He gets redemption, and people kind of look at it in a little bit more of an intelligent light. And but unlike Frankie, I'm going to hold the right to reserve my opinion. I could change because I'm going to go down there for HRTV, and I'm going to watch them train, and you know something might kind of crop into my head. And Frankie, I probably wouldn't do as much research, but they pay me to do it. So.
No, that was always your strength, Richie. It was so funny. When we were kids, me and Richie, we started out 1 year apart. We were both Eclipse Award-winning apprentices, and we've spent so much time together. But we were actually riding together during training hours before we got our jockey's license. And Richie was always the research buff. He was always the go-to guy, and I was just I just rode my horses.
You got to tell the whole story. Frankie won the Eclipse Award the year before I started, and I would see him riding out in the mornings, and he was the only jockey and one of the few people, and maybe nobody left, that could gallop a tough horse without jacking his stirrups up so short. And I used to, you know, he'd go by me in the mornings, and it was like this mix of envy because he was already riding and pure admiration for his abilities and, you know, the hands that he had, that he could gallop a tough horse. So you got to tell the whole story. I mean, I think it was a lot of, for me, somebody I aspired to be like.
Okay, but then here's the other side. Races are over. Me and Richie, we're done riding races for the day. This is like into our career. And I'm like, okay, it's time to go have a beer. And Richie's like, I got to go get the racing form for tomorrow's races. what was the deli, Richie, across from Belmont Park?
Oh, Mary's Deli.
Mary's Deli. He's got to go to Mary's Deli and get his racing form for the next day. So.
That's funny.
But then you can
meet
you at the bar afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could pound down more beers than Richie could. But, you know, he beat me the next day, so.
That's
Well, thank you so much, guys. We appreciate you being with us today. This is great fun. And, you know, I'm still sticking with I'll Have Another, and it sounds like I'll be right in there with Frankie.
Well,
hey, Meg, did you know something else about Frankie? I didn't know if you knew this, but did you know that Frankie also was a musician?
He's a rock star.
Oh, yeah, of course I knew that. He's, you know what? And a very talented one, and they had a terrific band, and he and the band would play all the benefits for disabled riders if a rider was in trouble, and honestly, really, really good.
Would you like to hear him again? Because every show we play a song, and Frankie doesn't know this, but I dug out Legend in the Game, which is about a certain little horse, wasn't it, Frankie?
Yep, the good old Seabiscuit.
And he sang this song about Seabiscuit, and it's been a long time since we played this on the show. So we want to thank you both for being here. We hope to catch up with you again either right before or right after the big race coming up here in a couple of weeks. Meg, if you want to, I'll just put you on hold, and you can reminisce by hearing Frankie do a little singing.
You know what? Please do. I don't want to get cut off. I want to listen to this, because then I'm going to call him and make fun of him. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. All right, we can do that. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
Guys.
Bye.
Don't hang up, Frank.
Okay.
You got to hear yourself.
Not a movie star of the big screen, not a ball player from any big team. Was not a hero that fought in war, not the kind of hero that I've known before. And 38 was the year they come from coast to coast with you. For this old horse would earn his fame. This is the story. Legs were straight, his build was small. Some work out, he didn't get it all. But time would tell him what we'd see. He'd make racing history.
Well, that was Frankie Lovato and Legend, A Legend in the Game, is a song about Seabiscuit. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn DeGeek here with Jamie Jennings. And we also, Coach Jen is over there in the producer chair. And this show today is brought to you by Omega Alpha. Now, we are coming up in just a moment with our segment on our Horse Nation segment that we do every week, wrapping up what's been going on over at horsenation.com. But first, Jamie, are you there? I don't think we can hear Jamie right now, so I think she may have to give us a call us back here in a second. But I wanted to tell you guys, I got to try out a product from one of our sponsors, Equity Manufacturing. They make a motorized manure fork. That's right. They make a motorized manure fork. And it shakes, and it's called the Shaken Fork from Equity Manufacturing. And I really didn't have a place to try it out because here in Florida we have sand outside and we have paddocks and things, but we don't really have a stall, so to speak. So I had to get a hold of a couple of neighbors, talk to my brother, and said, hey, who's neighbors? I need one that has shavings, and I need one that uses pellets. So I actually called them up and said, oh, you don't know me, but I'd like to come clean your stalls. And I actually got to know a couple of our neighbors that way. So I gave them a call. I went over and knocked on the door and said, okay, I'm here to clean your stalls with my Shaken Fork in hand, my motorized Shaken Fork. And Jamie, are you back?
I am.
Okay, so I'm here knocking on the neighbor's doors, cleaning their stalls. And we did the shaving stall first, and I'll tell you what, this thing is like a horse husband's dream. It's mechanical. It actually has a battery built into it, and it shakes and does all the work for you. It's a horse husband's dream. What it is it actually has a motor in it, and it has a trigger at the end, and you press the trigger, and it makes the fork shake. So it drops out all of the clean stuff and leaves all the poopy stuff. And then all you're throwing away is the waste, is the manure. And with the wet stuff, it keeps the wet stuff and takes out the clean stuff. And I'll tell you what, you save so much bedding using this thing, and you can clean the stalls in about twice the time. Twice as fast as you would with a regular pitchfork, with half the effort, because you just press the button and it does all the shaking for you. So then we headed over to the second place that had pelleted bedding, and this was an older couple. Well, he was fascinated by this thing, and he ended up using it more than me. It works terrific for pellets because the pellets are just big enough with the tines to fall through. I had a blast using this thing, and then I brought it back to use it in the paddocks here. Well, using it in the sand paddocks isn't such a big deal because it's not that hard to clean, so it wasn't really a factor there. But I'll tell you what, cleaning the stalls, I can see we've talked to several people that have used these for years, and they just love the things, and I can see why. It saves you on bedding, and you clean the stalls in half the time, and you're not as tired. So if you have to clean a lot of stalls, or if you have a horse husband that whines about it, he'll stop whining when you give him a automatic mechanical shake and fork. So it's Equity Manufacturing. You can find it at equitymfg.com. They're not cheap, but for what they'll save you in bedding and in time, if you got any number of stalls to clean, you got to invest in one of these. And we've talked to several people that have bought several of them now. And they're tough. The tines on this thing have been stepped on. I threw it on the ground. I tested it out by beating it up a little bit, and it does work. You've probably seen them at trade shows and things, but you got to give them a try. I'm sold now, and I think a couple of our neighbors are sold here, too. I made friends in the neighborhood. Anytime you go over and knock on the door and say, I'd like to clean your stall for you, you make friends. It really works, yeah. Jamie. Yeah.
Now, are you saying that this would be a fantastic horse husband Christmas gift?
Yes, I am. I am saying that it'd be a fantastic horse husband Christmas gift, and then they're obligated to have to clean stalls because you just spent all this money on them.
It's a two-for-one. Yep. This is
yeah.
a gift that keeps on giving. Honey.
Jamie, you are really quiet. I think you're going to have to do a mic reset for us there. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. But why don't we head over to Leslie Wiley of horsenation.com while Jamie's resetting things there. Remember, equitymfg.com. Check it out. It's called the Shake and Fork. Good morning, Leslie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Have you ever used a shake and fork before?
No, but I want one now.
I tell you what.
I didn't even know such a thing existed.
How many years have we all gone saying, this has to be easier? There's got to be an easier way. Well, now there is. Now there is an easier way, see? Well, I'll tell you what. You guys, you have discussions about things like shake and forks over at horsenation.com. If you post an article about that, there'd be a whole discussion on it, you know? And that's the kind of stuff you guys do over there. It's so fun.
We do. I love it. I think that's something I'd like to do more of because we always get a huge response when we sort of open the floor to discussion with a let's discuss post.
And you know what? If you found the same thing we have on Facebook, the sillier the thing you talk about, the more discussion there is.
I think the shake and bake?
Yeah, like shake and bake. Throw it like that,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the shake and fork. That may be our discussion today.
Well, you had a couple fun discussions last week. What were they?
We did. One thing that I was topic I thought was particularly fascinating was curiosity on my part was I asked readers about how much they pay for lessons in their area. And I assumed that there would be a huge variation, you know, they're probably cheaper in places where you're, you know, overrun with riding instructors. And if you live out in the middle of nowhere, you know, you probably have to pay more. And obviously there's huge variation, depending on your trainer's experience and that sort of thing. But one of the recurring themes that kept coming up was that what you pay for a lesson is not necessarily going to be a direct, there's not a directly, you know, a direct correlation between that and what you're getting out of it. And several people made the comment that they've paid a lot of money for lessons with top riders that were rubbish, and then they've paid, you know, half of that price for another, you know, some other trainer and they just got their money's worth plus some. So I thought that was really interesting.
Now, I got to comment on that because there was a top trainer that came to this area that my girlfriend and I went to go to watch. I mean, we're talking world-renowned equestrian. And it was by far, and the people that paid for this clinic paid over $300 to spend 2 days with this clinician, maybe $400. And to me, it was like the most boring
riding lesson for like cross rails and gymnastics. I mean, just like the most boring riding lesson we had ever seen. We didn't even go back and watch the second day, even though we had paid to audit it, because it was so, and all we thought about was how sorry we felt for the people that spent over $400 to ride with that person that clearly got ripped off. I mean, ripped off. You can find a local hunter jumper trainer in your backyard to do a better riding lesson than this top world-renowned trainer did. So it doesn't always matter what you pay for a lesson. It pays, you're exactly right, what you get out of it is what matters. And you're going to make it, you know, what, how hard you want to work is going to really help a lot as well. You know, we've talked about the riding lesson thing here, and I can't not have a riding lesson. I have to kind of have a goal and be moving forward. So to me, it's worth the money to find somebody, but you have to find somebody that you can afford to go to on a more regular basis is what I think.
Right, right. It's where you really get into their program and...
Yes.
And Yeah, for
so
sure.
So, do you take lessons, and what do you pay? As the boss of this whole website, I don't remember seeing your comment on the bottom of it.
Right. I mean, I think I've had both ends of the spectrum too. There's a guy that I trailer to for jumping lessons, and he charges $60. For an hour. He's a top, you know, he's a Grand Prix rider, and he just takes as long as it needs to take, and is so one-on-one and focused on you. And so that's a super, super bargain. And then my dressage lessons, I take a clinic as often as I can with, actually, it's Jim Coford. He comes to town, and I pay $100 for my lesson with him, and it's fantastic. It's worth every cent, and I can
better be
take that. Yeah, but it really that's my little indulgence. But you know, I've paid $100 for a lesson with other top riders, you know, super top notch event riders, big names, and walked away feeling like I was empty-handed as far as like, you know, it's like, oh, I could have set that gymnastic up at home for myself, you know,
right.
or they're just, you know, you're clearly just writing them a check, and they're not invested in you or your horse or improving you, you know.
Right. Give me my money.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when you take lessons, one of the things you want to be is in shape and prepared for them. And I guess that was one of your other articles too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Horse Nation has been on sort of a fitness kick lately. We've got a column every Wednesday by a writer named Biz Stam, and she's always coming up with fun, sort of fun extracurricular fitness activities to improve, you know, that'll improve your in the saddle time, which I think it's important unless you're riding, you know, 7-10 horses a day, you know, riding's good exercise, but there's so much you can do outside of out of the saddle to, you know, like my dressage trainers, he's like, have you been doing your Pilates? I'm like, no, as I bounce around in the sitting trot. Go home and do your sit-ups. And it really does, help. I think it's just, it's fair, if we're expecting our horses to be athletes, it's only fair to, you know, hold ourselves to the same standard.
I wonder how many
It
would be a good question to pose, wouldn't it, Jamie, is I wonder how many people actually do additional, you know, workouts in addition to riding, you know, whether you're at lower levels or higher levels. I've talked to both, even some of the professional riders who are just like, yeah, I should, but I don't, you know, and then as many do. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a performance thing. It's also a safety thing. I think a lot of accidents happen at the end of a cross country course when, you know, the rider's getting tired and the horse is maybe getting a little tired and the rider what the rider should be doing is, you know, going that extra mile to really help their horse out. But maybe they're, you know, they're out of breath, they're exhausted themselves, and so they quit riding a little bit, and that's when things, you know, things can go, start going downhill real
Okay, you guys have been talking to my husband. He wants me to use the elliptical more and go to the gym. Okay, you guys, fine, I get it. I understand what's going on here. You know what? I can't fit into my wedding dress from a couple years ago, and I understand that, but it's part of life, and just screw you guys, whatever. Watch out, Leslie, it'll happen to you. You're getting married, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I know. The big joke is that between my fiancé and us, we can't wait to get married, so I can get fat and he can start beating me. That's the running joke.
Once you're married, you're stuck, honey. I'm gonna get fat and I'm gonna.
Now, one other thing before we let you go here, we're running out of time. Is what's this about? And I'll give you my two cents about dogs at Rolex. What's this about dogs at Rolex?
Well, as you may be aware, the Kentucky Horse Park is a pretty dangerous place as far as, you know, I think as far as there's at Rolex, the Lexington Humane Society is out there with all these adorable dogs, just walking them around with adopt me signs on them. And also there's the Maker's Mark Secretariat Center where I've certainly had friends who have, you know, gone up to the horse park for a horse show and ended up signing, you know, falling in love with one of the ex-racers at the adoptable ex-racers at the Maker's Mark Center and signing the adoption papers and, you know, coming home with one horse that they didn't.
Congratulations on that. Yeah, that's cool. And, you know, they adopt more horses at the Maker's Mark Center during Rolex year because everybody just comes up, you know.
Yeah, I bet.
So are you going to be at Rolex this year, Leslie?
Yes. I have to come track you guys down.
Yeah, you'll have to come see us. We're going to be recording every morning from Thursday through Sunday from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. So, and we're going to be over in the old indoor where the vendors are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're set up in there. So you have to come by and say hi.
Super. I'm actually, I know everyone's like, you know, annoyed with the cold weather, but I'm hoping that it stays kind of cool because if it stays kind of cool, I'm taking the rabbits with me to Rolex. So the Horse Nation rabbits. So I'll be pulling them around in a little wagon. But I can't, if it's too hot, they have to stay home. But, you know, I'm pretty...
That's funny.
So, introduce you to the rabbits.
Okay.
Yeah, some people don't know, Leslie. If they don't read Horse Nation, you know, religiously, that actually you are just kind of the one that hits the button because the rabbits actually kind of come up with and write most of the posts on horsenation.com. Is that true? That's what I've heard.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, I just fetch them coffee and you know, sometimes they have trouble typing, so I help them out with that. But really it's the rabbits, the bunnies that run the show.
Well, perfect. Well, please come over and be on our show. Bring the bunnies. Come be on our show. We're going to be in the, I believe, the indoor arena again, Glenn.
Yep.
Is that
yep.
where we're going to be?
Same spot. Yeah, we'll be over near where the judges are, the judges stand. Yep.
All right.
You'll
come
see
on
a
over.
Big
be on the show.
We're the only ones with big red mics. So we're easy to
big
find.
Big red mics. Okay. Well,
big
I'll be
red
the only
mics.
One with bunny rabbits.
Yeah, you'll be the only one with bunny. I don't like dogs at Rolex. I'm just putting my two cents in now. There's just so many of them. And then about half the dog owners don't seem to think they need to clean up after their dogs. And I've had the misfortune a few times while walking around the country. So that's why I'm not going in favor of dogs at Rolex.
Do you remember when the trade show used to be under that tent? It was like this huge, ginormous tent.
Yes.
My friend Nancy, oh my gosh, I will never forget. She has her dog. He's like a beagle basset hound mix. And we're going down the middle aisle was really wide and there's vendors. There's a million people walking around. And poor Nancy, her dog just couldn't stand it anymore. And in the middle of the indoor trade fair, just poops right there, smack in the middle of all the traffic stuff. And it was one of those like dog poops that really took an awful long time. And she was so mortified, like, oh my god, Joey, come on. We gotta go. I'm trying to drive, but of course he just had to stop. And she was like, she told me, "Stand guard right here. I'm gonna go get some paper towels." And I was like, "Hell no, you stand here. I'll go get some paper towels. You guard the poop. I'll go get the stuff."
On that note, thank you, Leslie.
Yeah.
That's horsenation.com. We'll see you over the weekend.
Okay, sounds great.
Bye. And we're going to end the show with poop. Why not? We started with poop, end with poop. What the heck? Don't forget, everybody, we will have a couple of classics for you the next 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, for you to listen to. And then we'll be back live again on Thursday morning together from Rolex at the Kentucky Horse Park in Kentucky. So we'll be chatting with you then. Reese Goffler-Stanfield is supposed to be stopping over. Our dressage guru should be stopping over with us on Thursday. I hope she can spend most of the show with us and enlighten us as to the dressage that's going on Thursday and Friday over there. So we're hoping that she can do that.
Well, I absolutely cannot wait to be there. Everybody, please, if you can, you know, join us. We'll be broadcasting live again in the indoor arena. Come find us 9 to 10:30 a.m. And the eventing radio show will be broadcasting there as soon as all the activities are done for the day. So please come and find us. And if you're not going, we will definitely keep you up to date on everything. I cannot wait. And have a great day, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld.
All right. See you soon, Jamie.
Bye. Happy birthday, Glenn!
Thank you. See you at Rolex.
650. I'm going to get you a walker or a wheelchair. I'll push you around the course.
Hey, on cross-country day, I'll take it.